Mary turns twice. She turns and sees Jesus, and then again she turns to him. Now, most commentators say, oh, this is just John didn't mention this. Obviously, Mary has somewhere turned around again, and they just didn't mention that. Now Mary is turning again towards Jesus. But when you read John's gospel, it is just like John. It's so infuriating, like John, to emphasize things like this without really explaining it, to emphasize something twice. Turn to Jesus, risen from the dead. Well, but turning's a pretty common thing. Maybe you're thinking that, Joel. I mean, who doesn't, you know, in the normal course of life, turn to face someone? You would think then it appears frequently throughout this gospel, which are full of encounters with Jesus. The Samaritan woman, the man born blind, the man at the well. Surely someone else has turned towards Jesus. Well, one other time, there's a turning. It's at the very beginning, in the first chapter. Jesus, the very first thing he does, Jesus turned towards his disciples and asked them, "What are you looking for?" Those are the only two times people turn in John. Jesus turns towards humanity, and Mary turns twice to face Jesus. Now, okay, maybe this is just coincidence. But there's one more place. I wasn't completely straightforward. There's one more place. Now, it's not a narrative. It's not part of a story. It's a comment. Jesus has finished his public ministry. It's in chapter 12, if you want. Jesus has finished his public ministry, and he's about to go and spend his last night with his disciples. And he says to them, and the gospel writer, John, presumably says, although Jesus had performed many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. Nevertheless, many, even of authorities, believed in him. And this was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah. They might look with their eyes, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus is alive here. We are invited to turn to Jesus, and to turn again to Jesus, and to turn again to Jesus. This is the crucial step in life for every human being, every day of our life, no matter what we are going through, to once again turn towards Jesus. Jesus turned to his disciples and asked, "What are you looking for?" Now, this also appears three times in this gospel, this question. Well, it's not always what. The first time Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "What are you looking for?" The next time he asks this question, it's, "Whom are you looking for? Who are you looking for?" And he says it to the guards who come to arrest him. You'll remember he says, "Who are you coming to look for?" And they say, "We're looking for Jesus." And he says, "I am," and they fall to the ground. We hear it one more time, right here, when Mary turns toward Jesus, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" Like Mary, like all who read this gospel, we are invited to recognize that even though we believe that it's a what that we are searching for in life, in the end, what that question ought to be is, who are you looking for in life? In the end, what you are looking for when you meet Jesus becomes who you are looking for. He is not dead. He is risen. Jesus is alive. Three times in this story, Mary was concerned to find her Lord. It wasn't just his presence. It wasn't just a sense of God's goodness that she was looking for. She was looking for the body of Jesus Christ, the one she loved. In the same way that when we lose someone we love, we are not just looking for a sense that they are still with us in our memories. We are longing to once more be in their presence, to hold them and touch them, as we once were able to do. Three times she says, I am looking for my Lord. The first time she comes to the disciples after finding the tomb empty, and she says, they have taken the Lord, and I do not know where they have taken him. And so Peter and the other disciples run to the tomb, and they see it is empty. And they leave. The other disciple looks in, we are told, and believes, but does not yet understand. I'll come back to that. But they leave. Now, we're not told that Mary comes back here again, John, but there's Mary again at the tomb as if she never left, weeping. I don't know when she got there. She looks into the grave. She sees the angels. And instead of noting that there are angels here, she weeps. Woman, why are you weeping? The angels ask. The second time she says, they have taken my Lord. Please tell me where is his body. And then she turned and saw Jesus, but did not know that it was Jesus, or did not know that Jesus was. Jesus said, woman, why are you weeping? If you have removed him, tell me where. And then we have this beautiful moment, like a detonation in history. Jesus said, Mary. And Mary turned to him, and in her heart language, her language that she grew up with, she says, Rabboni, teacher. For Mary and for John, what we are looking for is found in Jesus. And since we are human beings, this is not just an idea that we are looking for. It's not just answers to questions we are looking for. It's not just a moment or an experience that we are looking for. We are looking for a body. We are looking for a living being, a real connection, person to person. That is what we are searching for in life. Three times Mary seeks this, knowing that it is not just a sense that Jesus is still with her that she needs, not just a proof or hope that there is life after death. She is seeking a who, a living person. Jesus is alive. I am aware that all of this is impossible and even ridiculous. It is kind of embarrassing to confess these things in our enlightened age, that we still believe that someone rose from the dead. But I am convinced it makes the most sense of history. I am convinced it makes the most sense of the whole Bible. But I don't pretend to understand. I don't understand exactly what happened that day, and I don't understand how it could be. But look, there I am in the story, the other disciple. He looked in. The tomb was empty, and he believed, but he did not yet understand. John tells us that he wrote these stories so that we would believe, and that through believing, we might have life. When this gospel was written, it was written by people who never had the opportunity to know Jesus, by people who never met him when he was alive or when he had risen from the dead. It was written by people like you and I who were explained the whole story and did not fully understand, but were invited to believe. John wrote these stories so that we would turn to Jesus ourselves again and again. Why would we turn to Jesus? If you are in darkness, Jesus is the light. If you find that there is nothing more, Jesus is life. If your wine has run out, Jesus can renew it. If you are thirsty, Jesus is a spring of waters that will gush up within you for eternal life. If you are hungry, Jesus is heavenly food. If you are lost, Jesus Christ is the gate. Jesus Christ is the way. If you are not sure who you are, Jesus Christ knows you by name and calls you. He is your good shepherd. And if you are facing death, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Day after day, through all of these experiences, we can turn to Jesus, because Jesus is alive. He has risen. Turn to him and be healed. Turn to him and see him. Turn again to him, again and again. Turn to Jesus Christ. Amen.